look, you know a lot of the personalities on that team very well. What would have been said in the locker room after that match?
Well, thanks for having me. That was quite the dour description, guys. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I thought...
Yep.
Yes, we did. I thought they played pretty well, but you know, I mean, the finish again, I thought there was a lack of finish, and I thought there were a couple of times where you know, where the reliance in Christie, I would have preferred seeing somebody be a little more, I guess, a little brave. I know that's a soccer word.
Yeah.
I would have liked to seen a little more bravery from a couple of the players. That's how I would put it, because I think they're far and away the better team than Japan.
Yeah, they were. And I think they're going to be gutted they didn't get the 3 points, for sure. But tournament play, they'll get over it pretty quick. You guys watched, they certainly created enough around the goal to score more. We just weren't shooting enough, were we? We weren't lethal enough. And we were passing a few many times in the 18, where definitely players like Nichelle, Prince, Ash had a good chance at the end. They just got to start ripping them, and I think someone go in the back of the net. I think the first games of the Olympics or World Cups are always the most nervy. So given that, we started pretty strongly, I'd say. And the other thing, too, is you really want to grow through a tournament, we like to say. So lots of room to grow there. For me, you know what? All they got to do is go watch some Melissa Tancredi game tape of her making runs into the box and shooting the ball, and then we should be good to go for the next match.
Yeah, that's a great the image of Tank going through. They could have used someone like that today. Absolutely, Diana. What, you know, you talked about how you kind of, you know, settling into a tournament. The first game is always a bit nervy, no matter what the circumstances. I find it hard to imagine what those circumstances are like this time around. You know, Jeff and I were talking about this earlier in the show, watching that match in that big, echoey, empty stadium. You know, I'm sure, you know, you know what it's like. You know what it's like to be in an Olympic village and be in an Olympic city. And this, it's got to be nothing like that this time around. Do you have any sense, you know, from anybody on the side what it's been like for them?
Yeah, it sounded pretty different, for sure, from both the players and from some of the media over there. There's definitely not the fanfare and the, you know, the buzz around Tokyo, which there usually is. There's not Olympic rings scattering the whole city, which I think is fair. You know, a lot of the people don't want the Olympics over there. I think the team started feeling the excitement once they got to see the stadium. They're in Sapporo, so they're not right in Tokyo, and the stadium there is pretty amazing. It's covered in all the Olympic rings and everything. So I think it started to feel really real when they saw that. And when they got their Olympic gear, that's always a fun moment too. But you're right. It has a totally different feel about it, kind of externally, but certainly the pressures are the same, and they still know what they're playing for over there.
You made an interesting point earlier about tournament play, and there is something different, and there's an art, isn't there, about tournament play. You know, John Herdman used to talk about it. There is, you said, kind of a gradual buildup. As a player, how do you keep that? You know, I'm sure you live for the moment, but how do you also balance out living for the moment with an understanding that, okay, there really is a process to a tournament? It's not simply win this game, win this game, win this game, win this game. It's not always going to happen like that. There's a process to it.
Yeah, I guess and you're never trying to start off average so you can grow, are you? But it does tend to happen that way, certainly, where the teams that start a bit slow and improve are the teams that win. I mean, certainly in London, we came third in our group. And really, it was our third group game against Sweden where we hit another level and then never looked back. And then you hit momentum going into the knockouts is exactly the time you want to get some momentum. That's when it really matters. And then Rio was a bit different. We won our group, but then found ourselves on a harder path, had to play the Germans twice, and we're out. There's definitely something mentally, I think, around every game you just feel like you're getting better. And then at some point in a tournament, you just feel a bit invincible. And that's when things really just start to go your way. Because the turnaround in the Olympics is so short. Like, it's only 2 days off in between games, which is not enough for soccer players. So you only you don't get to really recover physically, and you got time to look back at your game and say, here's the one or two things we're going to take from that game and improve it next game. So move on. So you really just improve every game from that.
I was going to ask you, Diana, like, and you maybe partially answered the question, but you know, this aside from the size of the field, how is the Olympic tournament different from the World Cup from a player's point of view? Obviously, Canada, we've had great success in this particular tournament, but what are the big points of differentiation between this and a World Cup?
The multi-games feel of it is always very different. Although in some ways we're sheltered from that because we're never in Tokyo, we're never in the host city, so we still end up in a hotel somewhere with a stadium. But you know you're part of a larger team, and that matters. And you know more Canadians are watching, and you're really playing for the Maple Leafs. That's part of it. And then the other one is what you just said. It's a smaller roster than the World Cup, 18 versus 23, with less rest and recovery in between. So it's like run and gun, and you're exhausted at the end of the 16 days.
How will Bev and the Canadian team handle any potential absence of Steph LeBay?
Well, we're fortunate, aren't we, that we always seem to have like two or three world-class Canadian keepers. I think people were debating going into this Olympics who's going to start because Kaylin's been incredible in her professional club for years now. And really, either one of them can do the job. I think Steph played the first game because she had the experience in what can be a very nervy game. So I think Kaylin coming in isn't too much of a worry for Canada. I think she'll be incredible. And hopefully we see Steph back also, so she's an option.
You know, it was amazing, Diana, watching. You know, obviously Sink scored that early goal today, but there are all kinds of little moments from her, those little moments of brilliance that you see if you watch her play. What at this stage, you know, this I presumably a late stage of her career, you know, although she may just go on forever, but what – How is the Christine Sinclair we see today different than, you know, than we would have seen, you know, 5-7 years ago?
She definitely plays differently now than she used to. Certainly she drops down a bit lower, more as a false nine. She's done that with her club for a while in Portland, and now she's doing with Canada. I mean, she's 38 now, right? Like, that's crazy that she's been able to do this for all these years. So physically, I mean, she's not the player she was in London or 10 years from that. I mean, she used to just blaze teams in behind. Like, she could run out. She could outrun anyone. So, I mean, she doesn't break lines as much with blazing speed, but it's Christine Sinclair. She's just so smart. She lives in the pockets of space. She can find them anywhere off the front. When she gets the ball, she rarely uses it. When she gets the ball, she usually makes something happen. And then she gets on the end of crosses, and As we know and as we saw today, if she gets the ball anywhere near the 18-yard box, she's probably going to put it somewhere in the net that the goalkeeper can't get to.